Blog Talk Radio.
This is Chief for Yourself. Now, here's Gio.
Hi, welcome to Chief for Yourself. Great to have you with us wherever you happen to be in the world at this moment. Okay, a new year is upon the Western world. Happy New Year, by the way. You may have a list of resolutions for the year in place, but the question is, will you keep them? Our guest today was with us in 2016 to talk about her book, The Inefficiency Assassin, Time Management Tactics for Working Smarter, Not Longer. Helene Segura is a time management consultant, speaker, and teacher. She combines neuroscience, educational psychology, and pop culture to show how to improve efficiency during the workday and to help us have a life outside of it. Helene brings with her some rather disheartening statistics, though, that show that we're not sticking to those promises that we make each and every year to bring change into our lives. We'll get into those in a second. Helene, you're known as the inefficiency assassin. Doesn't leave much room for doubt. I remember reading that your organizational abilities started kind of early in life, didn't they?
For the most part, I have what I called extremely organized piles. I was a piler, and so I had my scrapbook piles and magazine articles and then an area for my stuffed animals. But what I had was a challenge with time management when I got to college. So it was through trial and error and then studying in grad school about educational psychology and neuroscience that really helped me formulate all of the time management tactics that I use today.
Now, your research that I mentioned earlier finds that only 8% of us keep our New Year's resolutions. What, for the most part, is going on with the other 92%?
Well, according to the University of Scranton, that's where I got that research number from. The majority of folks don't set a plan for their resolution. And when I read this research, I thought, you know, that's exactly what happens with my clients. A lot of people want to dive in, and they wake up on January 1st saying, okay, world, today I'm going to change this. But because there wasn't any preparation, they are not actually ready to make changes. Because if you weren't doing something last year, how are you going to suddenly wake up and just automatically start doing it? So there's some prep that takes place. The other challenge is that a number of people will make multiple resolutions. And it's tough enough to make one change, but if you're looking at three or four changes, especially if they're big life changes like losing weight or quitting smoking or saving money, then it's really hard to focus on everything you need to do if you're trying to chase down so many different things.
Mm. And I suppose procrastination is a big problem, too. Is it just fear that makes us put things off, or not having confidence that we're going to go through with them? How does that work?
That could be a part of it, fear. Procrastination can also definitely be a part of it because we think, oh, today's January 1st, I think I'll start on the 2nd. And then you wake up on the 2nd, oh, I think I'll start on the 3rd. And it just keeps moving and moving and moving. But really, because a lot of people haven't taken the time to prepare, they didn't realize that they needed to do this preparation, when they don't succeed on the first day, that's pretty demoralizing. And so that lowers the motivation level. And when you get up the next day, you don't want to try quite as hard. And then when you don't succeed again, you're pretty much ready to throw in the towel. That's why so many people give up on their resolutions within the first couple of weeks.
Mm. And another one of the reasons that I found interesting, I don't quite know how to interpret this one. I don't know what to say to people. What do we expect to say or think we have to say?
It's really important as a part of building your team. Just like I talk about in my book, my framework, the CIA, you want to create clarity, implement structure and flow, and assemble your team. The same framework that we can apply to time management, we can also apply to our resolutions. So in the assemble your team component, this is where you want to talk to people and let them know what you're trying to accomplish. So you want to let your household know what your New Year's resolution is and why it's so important to you to accomplish this change, and then also let them know how they can help you, because that's great once they know, but What do you want them to say to you or not say to you? Do you want them to help you out with anything? Do you want them to nag you, or do you want them to stay silent? So by letting those people in your life know what kind of support you want, that is going to help you through. The same thing at work. If your resolution has to do with something at work, maybe your resolution is not being late to meetings anymore, you'd want to let some of your closest coworkers know what changes you're trying to make, so that way when they come over to you and you're behaving differently, they're not thinking that you're going crazy. They know that this is intentional and you're trying to do something new that's also good for yourself.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned putting your team together. There are people who have plans to start their own business in this year. Can you make any suggestions for budding entrepreneurs?
Absolutely. First, you want to decide what field you want to go into, and you want to make sure that you follow your passion, because one of the most wonderful things that could ever happen to you is that you wake up in the morning every single day and you get to get paid for doing something that you absolutely love. Then once you figure out what field you want to go into, you need to start researching what else is out there, and how are you going to present this service or this product to those people out there. So you want to make sure that you touch base with business consultants or coaches, or get a book and study what you need to do to first start your business, and then what you need to do to market your business. So just like with resolutions, there's some planning that goes into it. So it's great when you wake up and you say, oh, I want to start this business, but what are all the steps that you need to take in order to set the wheels in motion? Because there's more to it than just buying a domain name and saying, okay, I have a domain name, now what?
You know.
So you want to look at all the different things that you need to do to start building that business.
Mm-hmm. And as you build your organization, obviously email is such a great help, but it can be an impediment for some people too, especially with time management. When we last talked, I did a pretty good cleaning of my inbox, but it's getting cluttered again.
Great.
Yeah, I find myself backsliding. Should I schedule a day or hours for cleaning out the inbox, make that a plan?
That's a great question, because there are two facets to email. One is dealing with the incoming, and the second one has to do with what you're asking about, which is cleaning out what's already in there. So if you are in that cleanup mode, I absolutely recommend that you do schedule some time to go through that. And the length of time is going to depend on your attention span and then also how many emails you have. Now, some people are sprinters. That means that they can only work in short spurts, so maybe 15 or 30 minutes, because either that's their attention span or their comfort level, or that's all the room they have in their schedule. So if you're a sprinter, you'd want to block off perhaps several 15-minute sessions, either within the same day or within a couple of weeks, so that way you can plow through those emails. But if you are a marathoner, that means you are comfortable with working for 2 hours, 3, 4, 5 hours at a time, then you can block off that longer time period to just go through all the emails, delete everything that you don't need, or archive the ones that you need to save.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of email, I'm thinking of Tim Ferriss's book. He has a pretty extreme approach to email. He tends to just walk away from it for long periods of time. Is it wise to do that? Should we kind of keep an eye on it, or can we just say, you know, I'm not going to take another look at this until the end of the day?
That depends on what your job situation is or what your personal situation is. There's some clients I work with who have assistants who can go into their email account, and so the assistant combs through for them and then just presents them with the most important information. But a lot of us out there don't have that assistant who's going to comb through. So you'd want to make sure that if there's some kind of situation you need to be aware of, you are checking more often. I think that walking away from email is perfectly fine if you have set up, say, a junk mail account where if you do any shopping online or if you subscribe to newsletters, then all of those get filtered through to that one account. That's the kind of account that you can walk away from and not touch for a couple of weeks. But if this is a business account and your clients and colleagues need to reach you, or if it's a personal account and your family and friends expect some kind of reply within a couple of days, those are the kind of accounts that you can't walk away from unless you've set the expectation with everybody you deal with that, hey, guess what? I only check email once a month. So please don't be offended if I don't contact you for 30 days. Mm-hmm. So if you've set that expectation already, sure, then you can walk away. But otherwise, business still needs to run and family and friends still need to communicate with you.
Mm-hmm. I think most of us have something that can easily distract us. Some people seem to be distracted by social media. They need to constantly post or view on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. How should we handle the social media aspect of all this?
Social media is a wonderful way to keep in touch with people from around the world, people you wouldn't normally talk to because the phone rates would be too high or you don't have an international plan. But like you said, social media can also be a distraction, and this is where we can lose so much time in the day. So what you'll want to do is, number one, if you tend to reach for social media from your phone or from your mobile device, move those social media apps off the homepage, because part of the temptation is that those apps are often right there as soon as we pick up the phone and we see the little notification numbers grow. Oh, mm-hmm. I have one notification. I have 10. I have 20. And that makes it tempting to want to jump in. And the other thing you can do is when you know you're going to go on social media for a break, set a timer. A number of my clients end up getting lost in social media for 30 minutes or sometimes 2 hours. They have no idea that that time has slipped away because they're having fun just cruising around and clicking on links and watching videos and looking at pictures. So, number one, remove that temptation from the home screen of your phone. And number two, set a timer when you do go in so you can prevent falling down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. I belong to a gym not far from my home, and I talked with the people at the desk recently, and they say they see new signups early in the year for memberships, and then the place sort of thins out a bit as the year wears on. If a new workout regimen is in our plans for the year, should we think about this tendency before spending the money?
I definitely would, because if you weren't working out last year, then where are you going to fit it in this year? And I am not anti-workout at all, but you do need to think about what you're getting into. So let's say that your New Year's resolution is to go to the gym to work out. So that's great, but let's make this a measurable target. Do you want to work out 5 times a week? If you weren't working out last year, I don't know if that's realistic. Maybe you can start off with once a week or twice a week. So now that you have this target, let's schedule that time into your calendar. You can take a look at the schedule that the gym has and say, okay, I really don't like mornings. I'd rather do this after work, so let me schedule in a class that they're offering after work. Or if you're the opposite, do it in the morning. So you figure out what time is convenient for you. If you can get it scheduled on the calendar, then you're going to be much more likely to follow through with it. The other thing people need to realize is that because the rest of the world has also started making New Year's resolutions, those gyms are going to be crowded. And that's part of what drives people away after a couple of weeks in the gym. They get tired of waiting on machines. They get tired of dealing with people who don't know how to use the machines because it's their first time in the gym. So you might want to go to that desk at the gym and say, hey, are there any downtimes here at this gym? Is there a time when it's not as crowded? Because that might be the best time for you to go, so that way you don't feel bothered by so many people being crowded into the gym.
Our guest on this Chief for Yourself is Helene Segura, author of The Inefficiency Assassin, Time Management Tactics for Working Smarter, Not Longer. There are those who feel, or at least say, that it's too much trouble to get organized, and you can see that they're crying out for some organization, even though they're saying that. Are they just in denial or not seeing the whole picture?
I totally agree. People who have experienced even fleeting moments of organization actually feel a little bit of zen because they realize, wow, this is what it's like to be calm. Wow, this is what it's like to not panic and to be able to find what it is that you need or arrive on time for a meeting. And when you start adding up just the time benefits alone of being organized, it's absolutely incredible. I was reading a statistic the other day, and It said that the average white-collar worker loses a total of 6 weeks a year just looking for files or papers
wow.
or something in the office. 6 weeks! And so if somebody is going to say to me, it doesn't really pay to be organized, then I would present the different research that's out there and say, I would love to have those 6 weeks back, or if I'm organized, I would love that I haven't lost those 6 weeks. And that's just with time. Then you can also look at money. A lot of people buy duplicates or triplicates or quadruplicates, if that's a word, because they can't find what they need, so they end up buying extra. And that's a lot of money down the drain. Even if it is for business, even if it is a tax write-off, it's still money outlay. I would rather take maybe the $1,000 that was spent on buying those duplicates and triplicates and go on a nice trip instead of buying mm-hmm. all of those mm-hmm. lost things. So getting organized truly does pay off.
Well, with all of that lost time in the workplace, and I'll call on your travel experience here, are you seeing industry doing anything more about this loss? Because it's almost like a crimp in the economy.
Absolutely. And what I have found is that in my line of work, because it is my job to help companies with time, there are a lot of companies that say, oh, yes, we'd love to have you come in because we wish our people were more efficient, but then they don't want to spend the resources, which is the time to have the workshop or the money to have a book study or to bring a trainer in. And so it's almost like this double-edged sword, and companies need to decide what do they want. Do they want to get their employees help to be more efficient, or do they want people to keep on dog paddling and always feel like they're behind? So I've seen smaller companies invest in their employees because they realize, wow, we can really increase our profit margins if we have people either working fewer hours with the same amount of return or working the same amount of hours with even more return. So the mindset really depends on who the leadership is of the company, and we can only hope that the leaders out there realize how valuable it is to invest in their employees and help them to be more productive.
Well, speaking of leadership, how about the leadership of our schools? Do you ever envision the day where some of these principles that are so helpful are ever taught in schools?
Unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen as long as there are standardized tests. And
we could
spend a whole episode talking about standardized tests. You know, for my bio that I was a teacher for 11 years in a Title I school, and standardized tests will drive the curriculum. I don't know what was taught in your English class when you were going to school when you were younger, but I remember diagramming sentences in English.
Yes.
I used to love that because I'm such a nerd, and I take out my little ruler. I love drawing all those lines. By the time I got out of college and started teaching my English classes, I was told to not diagram because that is not a part of the test. And I realized that there are more important things to teach than diagramming, but the point is, it's the test that drives the curriculum. So therefore, since time management and organization are not being tested, they are not going to be taught formally in schools unless individual teachers decide to give some organizing and time management lessons to their students.
Can a person be born disorganized?
I think so. Time management and organization really comes down to mind management. So you can't be born with all of the right synapses firing, and so you're automatically programmed to make these calculated decisions about how you use your time or how you're going to organize a space. But the good thing is that this can also be a learned skill. It's not something that you're going to be able to learn just overnight. It's something that you're going to need to practice until it becomes second nature. And so what is the saying about developing habits? Some people say it's 6 weeks. Some people say that it's 90 days. The whole point is that you need to choose the skill that you want to build and keep practicing it every single day, even when it feels awkward, because it will if you haven't done it before. But yes, I think people can be born this way with this kind of wiring, but it can also be learned.
So when is it time to get professional help, from an organizer, that is?
I would say that if you have made multiple attempts to try to get organized or to try to use your time better, and it's not working no matter what you do, or it works for a few days and then you fall off the wagon, then that's the time that you should reach out. You can look into coaching, you can look into books, you can look into webinars, but what I find with my clients is that what they really benefit from is the accountability, because they know that they're going to have homework from me, and they know that they have to do check-ins with me. So having that built-in accountability is part of what leads to the success. And so I would say that if somebody is not able to work with a coach, then I highly recommend that they have an accountability partner, either in a coworker or a close friend, somebody who they can report their progress to, so that way they can get those little nudges to keep them going.
Now, do you yourself do a lot of New Year's resolutions? How do you approach that?
You know, I was doing some reflection about this because being on the interview circuit at this time of year, I started thinking about my patterns, and I realized that in my 20s, I was always looking for what was wrong with me and what I wanted to change for the following year. And then in my 30s, I started thinking more about my health, and so most of my resolutions were about, you know, improving my health. And halfway into my 40s, I realized that I tend to look at what I really liked about the previous year, and I make my resolution to continue doing that or to continue doing more of that. So this year, my resolution is to expand my garden, because last year I started a vegetable garden for the first time. I had not been successful in a whole bunch of prior years because, just like the typical New Year's resolutioner, I just decided, oh, I'll buy some seeds or plants and stick them in the ground. And there's a lot more planning that needs to be done. So last year's garden was successful. I'm going to expand it for this year. My other resolution is that my husband and I have had date Saturdays every week. Instead of doing date night, we have a cooking date on Saturday, which of course involves wine. And we absolutely loved it, and so our resolution is we're going to continue this. We're going to protect as many Saturdays as humanly possible so that we can have this time together.
One last question, and then we'll let you go. Give us a bit of advice to take with us throughout this year, regardless of where we happen to be right now on the resolution success continuum.
I would say that whether you call it a resolution or a goal or a life change, choose one priority that you want to focus on. You're not ignoring the rest of your life. You're just saying, this is the one priority I'm going to keep track of throughout the year. You want to develop a target, like I mentioned earlier, something that's measurable. That way you know how close or how far you are to the target. And something that's very important is to reflect with power every day. And that's something that I talk about in my book. Most times when we reflect, we always start off with what we didn't do or what we did wrong, and that's not motivating. So you want to start your daily reflection with, these are all the things I did right, no matter how small they are. And if you do those things, one priority, develop a target, reflect with power, then the rest of it is going to start to fall into place when you build your plan and you build up your team, because time management is all about mind management, and so are New Year's resolutions. It's all about mind management.
Helene Segura is the author of The Inefficiency Assassin, Time Management Tactics for Working Smarter, Not Longer, also the author of Roadmap to Get Organized. And your website is HeleneSegura.com, where we can find out more about the books, of course.
Yes. In fact, if you scroll down to the bottom of that homepage at HeleneSegura.com, you can also sign up for a free productivity kit. And I have my time planner templates in there that I use with my clients. I also have a free webinar on fighting procrastination. There are a bunch of resources, so please help yourselves use those resources to be better with your time management.
All right. Well, Helene, thanks for coming back with encouragement and tips for those of us who want to stay the course but often go astray. Come back again sometime. Give us a booster shot of organization.
I would love that, John. Thank you.
We'll have a link to Helene Segura's website at achieveforyourself.com. I also have a little freebie plan for you to kind of go along with today's topic of making changes in your life and having a great new year. I'll tell you more about that and our next scheduled guest in a Genulines blog post. I hope you've subscribed to Genulines. It's easy to do. Just put your email address into the box provided on the website. You'll get the blog posts and be kept up to date. Simple as that. So that's going to do it for today. Thank you for making Chief for Yourself your choice. Be well, and I'll talk to you soon.